This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we thank you that we can be here because you thought of us. We were not mindful of you. We were far away from you. Dead in our sin and our trespasses, yet you chose to love us. You gave your Son so that we may be free, have life, and know you. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, band. This morning I would like to continue with hearing God's voice. Last week we read in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me." And so last week we also looked at what is not the voice of God. There is a difference between God directing us, revealing himself to us, answering our prayers, and speaking to us. There is a difference. God can answer our prayers and direct us through circumstances. God can warn and lead us through the absence or the presence of peace. But God speaks to us primarily through words. Right from the beginning of time, we see that God spoke. As a matter of fact, everything that came into creation, that came into existence, was because of the word of God. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. There's something powerful about words. Words is the essence of communication, and communication is the essence of relationship. And so God, from the beginning of time, spoke to man. And so man spoke back to God. And in that speaking to one another, we find a relationship of knowing each other. So God speaks to man through words. I don't know if you've ever been to a foreign country where you could not speak the language. And then you have to point and to show and to try and mime what you want. Very frustrating. But that's not really a relationship. And so words are central to our understanding of who God is. God revealed himself first and foremost through the creation, through the created word, but mostly God revealed himself through his spoken word. And as a matter of fact, we have the Bible today that is a recording of the spoken word of God. And that what we know of God, the most that we know of him, the intimacy and the understanding of who God is and who he is not, is through the revelation of the word of God. This word is powerful. As a matter of fact, it is God that first spoke before man was created. Words is something powerful. We read in the word of God that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. We read that salvation is based on our confession with our mouths of who Jesus is. The faith in our heart, but the confession of our mouth. And that we will confess him before all of creation, as every knee will bow before him and confess that he is indeed the Son of God. And so words are powerful. God's words are different to man's words. God's words are powerful. They are eternal. They are truth. They are alive. And they are eternal life. And we see this mystery of God that is so different to man, yet powerful in its mystery of the Trinity. And here we read in 1 John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life is the light of men, and the light shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it." And so we see that the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God does not change. And then in verse 14, we read that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so we see that the revelation of God is through His Word. So this morning, I want to continue with this mystery, not just of who God is, but how does God speak to us? And that in itself is not a mystery. The way God speaks to man is not complicated, but achievable. It is comprehensible. It is able for us to hear Him, to know Him, and to follow Him. And so the first way God speaks to us is audibly. We see throughout Scripture that God speaks to man audibly. As I am speaking audibly and you can hear the words, so God has spoken to man. Right from the beginning of creation, God spoke to man. We see Adam and Eve as God spoke to Adam and Eve. And then most dramatically, at the fall of man, we read here in Genesis chapter 3 from verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" And Adam heard the voice of God and responded and said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." You see, even as Adam tried to hide himself from God, he could not escape the voice of God. So God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. And so many other examples. And now, don't forget Samuel. Do you remember that story? Samuel, God spoke to Samuel as a small child. We read in 1 Samuel 3. And therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant hears.'" And so Samuel went to lay down in his place. Remember the story where Samuel was sleeping as a young man and God spoke to him. He said, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel heard the voice of God audibly, thought it was Eli, and he went up to the prophet and said, "Did you call me?" And the prophet said, "No. Go back to sleep. It was not me." And then a second time Samuel heard the voice of God audibly. And he stood up and went to the prophet and said, "Master, did you call me?" And he said, "No. Go back to sleep." But then he realized what is going on. And so he instructed the young man and says, "If you lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord. Your servant hears.'" And so Samuel went to lay down in his bed. Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." This in itself is a sermon. But God spoke audibly. He spoke audibly to Jesus at His baptism when the heaven opens up and a voice came down from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." God spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus and He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And so we can go throughout the Bible and find examples where God spoke to man audibly. It was words clearly understandable in which God communicated to man. That's one way in which God speaks. Another way through which God speaks is through angels. God sent official messengers to speak to man on his behalf. And God would send angels to speak to man. And we see so many examples of Joshua and Gideon and so many others that God spoke to. Cornelius the centurion, that God through an angel spoke to them. One thing I have to say, if an angel do speak to you, you will know. Because all the examples within Scripture, we find these mighty men of valor, this great men of God, warriors, centurions. When angels appeared to them in their glory, they fell to their face in horror and fear. You will know when an angel speaks to you. But an angel also spoke to man through dreams. We read here where God sends an angel and speaks to Joseph through a dream. But here in Matthew 1 verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Again, very clear words, clear, understandable instructions from God. Again, we read, God speaks to Joseph again here in Matthew 2. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take your child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek your young child to destroy him. Very clear words, understandable. The third way that God speaks to us is through dreams and visions. And yes, here, sometimes God's speaking to us through dreams and visions become figurative. We think, of course, of Joseph. Remember Joseph and his dreams of the stars bowing down to him, even the sun and the moon, and the wheat sheaves that bow down to his. It was figurative, yet so clear that the whole family understood what it meant. And we know the consequences of that. But not all dreams are so clear, even in its figurative language. We see then in Joseph's life, where he met the baker and the cupbearer. Remember those dreams? That was very figurative, and they could not figure it out. And so they asked Joseph, and then of course there was Pharaoh's dream. Remember the seven fat cows and the seven skinny cows. And they didn't understand the meaning because it was figurative. And God spoke figuratively through a dream. But what is so interesting in the Bible, we find every time God does speak figuratively through a dream, there was always a very clear interpretation. God spoke through an interpreter the meaning of the dream. And so we also find here in Genesis 40, verse 8, and then they said to him, we each have a dream, speaking to Joseph, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? So tell me your dream, and I will inquire from him. I want to encourage you, if you dream a lot like I do, I dream every night, at least three times a night. I do not try to interpret all my dreams. I will go crazy. And I know some of you don't dream every night, but I do. But I can count on my one hand when God spoke to me through a dream. It was unlike all my other dreams. It was very vivid and very real, and I understood exactly what it meant. But God can speak to our dreams, and if God does speak to you through a dream, please don't go to the dream book. Because it says God interprets. Interpretation belongs to God, not the dream book. The dream book is a formula. God is alive. The dream book is not the author of your dream. God is. So if you want the interpretation, please go to the author. Not of a book, but of the dream itself. And if God is the author, he will also give you the interpretation. Or if you seek his face, he will send you someone with the interpretation. But God speaks through relationship. That's the essence of communication. It is a two-way relationship with God before anyone else. God can also speak through others. The most well-known way that God speaks through others is through the prophets. And again, we have for us that what God clearly spoke to the prophet that he then communicated to the people of God. God speaks through prophets. And God can speak very clearly through prophets. Prophets speaks on God's behalf. Now, in the Old Testament, there was not many prophets. There are many more today that claim to be prophets. The difference, and there is a big difference between the office of a prophet and the prophetic word and the gift of prophecy. There is a difference. The Word of God encourages us all to prophesy and to seek God for the gift of prophecy. But there's a difference between the office of a prophet and the word of prophecy. And if you want to know more of that, I don't have time. Please come to Bible school next year. We spend a lot of time in that. To show you the difference, but also to equip you and to encourage you to prophesy. And to flow in all the other gifts of God. But the reason there wasn't many prophets in the Old Testament, if you said, thus says the Lord, and it does not come to pass, we will stone you to death. Because you represent God, and you dare not say, thus says the Lord, if it was not God. And therefore there was not many prophets. And even if you did speak the word of God, it was not always uplifting and encouraging, and the hearers often killed the prophets because they said what they did not want to hear. Prophecy is very powerful, and God speaks through prophecy. But please, let us deal with it in respect, in the receiving of it and the giving of it. And as we grow in this gift, let us rather say, I believe this is what God is saying, than thus says the Lord. And please, and if you do say, thus says the Lord, if it does not come to pass, please go and apologize. I've yet to find a modern prophet that apologizes for their prophecy not coming to pass. And oh, I have heard many prophecies that did not come to pass. That was not the word of God. And so in the same time, I don't want to scare you from prophecy, but I want to encourage you to have respect for prophecy. When giving it, but also when receiving it, because God does speak through prophets. He does speak through others. But when you receive a prophetic word, please treat it like a dream. Go to the author. God, you spoke to me through the prophet. Please confirm this for me. Make sure it is God speaking to you and not the man. Because unfortunately today there are many men and women that says, thus says the Lord, and it was not God. So test it. Take a prophecy. Don't build your life around that, but take that prophecy back to the author. If it is God, take it back to God and ask God to confirm this word, to show it to you. Prophecy mostly will be a confirmation of what God is already speaking to you or going to speak to you. So go back to the author like you do with your dream. Go to God as the author of the word. And so too with sermons. I am a preacher. God also speaks through sermons. But do not believe everything you hear. First test it. If anything like we shared last week, if it is contrary to the word of God, it is not the word of God. I once, when I was busy studying, and I constantly study theology, I came across a teaching on hermeneutics, and I think it was Professor Bruce Ware that said, if the meaning of your sermon does not reflect the meaning of the text, is it still the word of God? If the meaning of my sermon does not reflect the meaning of the text, is it still the word of God? And the answer is no. No. And I realize I am no longer your only shepherd. 50 years ago, I was your only shepherd. But today I share you with many other shepherds on TBN and God TV and podcasts. And YouTube. There are many others that you listen to, that you receive from spiritually. And many of those I have great respect for. But I also humbly understand that I am not your only shepherd anymore. Therefore, I make the even more sure that what I do share is as close as I possibly can to the Word of God, so that you may learn to discern between the truth and what is the lie. Because out there you will find many alternatives, many great sermons. And I've heard it so many times where Christians who are born again for many years will tell me, I have never heard this. And I say, you're absolutely right, because it's not in the Bible. That's why you've never heard this before. And again, the most important things that God wanted to say to us, He has already said. And if you have any sermon that shares, and I'm not saying that there isn't truth and revelation not recorded in the Bible. Yes, there are. But whenever you hear a sermon of something that's not in the Word of God, please treat it with caution. Treat it like a dream. Go back to the Lord and say, Lord, if this is you, please speak to me. But the most important things concerning life, godliness, salvation, and eternal life, God has already spoken. God has already spoken. So focus on what God has already said before we get distracted with all the other things. Hebrews 1, I read it last time, long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. Do not get distracted with other stuff. Focus on the Word of God. And then fifthly, I'm going to combine these two. God speaks mostly to us through His Word and through His Spirit in us. That's how God speaks to us mostly. In John 14, verse 26, we read, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you." One of the amazing things of how God revealed Himself, He first revealed Himself through creation. Then He revealed Himself through the spoken Word. Then He revealed Himself through the Word incarnated. And then the Spirit of God within us. God reveals Himself and the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance everything that God has already said. And in that place, from that place, whatever else we need to know for today. But the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance, this is the mystery of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit makes the Logos rhema. It's so powerful when you read the Word of God, the Logos. It is the black letters on white. That is Logos. But when the Spirit brings life to it, it becomes rhema. It's when you read the Bible and all of a sudden something pops out. Something speaks to you. It like cuts right into your heart, divides into the intention of your soul, and you know God is speaking to you. It is the Holy Spirit making the Word of God alive. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's like a hammer. It hits you, it cuts, and it brings forth life if you choose to humbly receive it. That's the Word of God through the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Or when you listen to a sermon and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And I trust it's not because of the story, but because of the Word of God that speaks to you. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance. It's so powerful. The more you spend time in the Word, I found in my life, the more I spend time in the Word of God, the more in my daily life, in my daily routine, the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance verses to my heart and my mind. When I have to make a decision, or I'm in a confrontation, or I don't know what to do, it's at those moments that the Holy Spirit speaks to me through the Word. It is so powerful. I understand John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, to kill, to destroy, but I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. I understand it, Lord. I can hear you. I know what to say. It is so powerful. The Holy Spirit brings the Word of God alive, and I want to encourage you, spend time in the Logos until it becomes rhema. Spend time in the Logos and you'll be amazed how much the Holy Spirit brings it to remembrance in those difficult times, in those prayers. You know that 2 second prayers, help! And you will be amazed how much the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But the Holy Spirit is a person speaking to me personally. And He speaks to each one of us personally, not just through Scripture. Because He is alive. And He is with us. And He's within us. He is a person. And so He speaks to us also personally. In every aspect of our life. It is that still small voice that sounds like a thought or your conscience speaking. But it's something different. It is pure. And it is the opposite of my flesh. That still small voice. It's something pure and so different to my earthly desires that speaks as if it is a thought out of nowhere, as if it's my conscience awakening. Yet it is something different. It is gentle, and it leads us always towards Christ and the truth. It speaks of the way of righteousness, ever speaking if we are listening. Ever speaking. Full of hope and love, direction and correction. Always encouraging, even in His rebuke, there is a love and an encouragement. It speaks of wisdom and of insight. And as I listen, I realize I am never alone. Because God always speaks to me. And He speaks to me personally. And therefore, I can ask Him of my life and the decisions and my concerns and my fears. And He answers if I am willing to listen. I have discovered this, that God speaks in relationship. Communication is the essence of any relationship. And the reason why I want to hear His voice is because I want to know Him more. That is why I want to hear His voice. Yes, I have concerns and fears and decisions that I need to make. But my primary heart's cry is, God, I want to know You more. And it's from that place where God speaks to me far more often than from any other. And in Jeremiah, it sums it up so beautifully. In Jeremiah 29, it says, then you will call upon Me and go and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will step in front of you if you seek Me with all your heart. And sometimes God feels far away, and heaven is silent, and God is distant, and I am anxious and afraid, or I do not know what decision to make, but when I seek Him earnestly, God steps in front of me. He makes Himself found by me. And so I have discovered that hearing the voice of God is in a place of relationship with Him, seeking Him for who He is. So why do we want to hear His voice? So often, I say, Lord, I am nothing. But You love me. Why? I do not know. You saved me. God, I want to know You. I want to know You more. And it is from this place where I hear His voice most. So, here's 5 steps to hear His voice. The first is faith. You need faith to hear His voice. That's Hebrews 11 verse 6. For without faith it is impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe that He exists and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. You must have faith. It's the first step in hearing God's voice consistently in your life, is you must believe that he exists. Secondly, you must understand that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, who diligently draw near to him, that seek him earnestly with all their heart. God rewards those who diligently seek him. Jeremiah 29, we read it, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, says the Lord." Firstly, you must believe. And secondly, you must earnestly seek him. The third step that I've discovered is that you must be still. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." What a powerful sentence. In this life, we get so busy. There's just so much noise around us. We have a generation that has grown up that cannot be still. For even a minute, they get uncomfortable. We reach for our cell phones and for our iPads. And we want the noise around us because we're uncomfortable in silence. How clever the devil is. And he fills our life with so much noise and activity that it is hard for us to be silent. But yet, we need to declutter ourselves of all the noise so that I can hear you speak to me. And so the third step is to switch off the cell phone, is to close the door, is to go out in nature, to be still, to wait, and to listen. Oh, I remember when I was a young Christian, and I often do it to this day, when I first was baptized with the Holy Spirit and I received a tongue, I used to go where there was nobody. There was used to a little foer. What is that in English? A furrow with willow trees. And I used to sit there all on my own. And I still do to this day when I'm alone. I just pray in the Spirit until I experience God's presence. And it's from that place where I pray. Because I want to know you. But first, I need to still my mind that keeps on racing with all the activities and all the things that needs to happen. And for me, I need to get out. I need to get out in nature. I struggle at home, but I love it in nature. Just to be still. The fourth step that I've learned is also in Psalm 46, verse 10. It is, "Be still and know this, I am God." When I come to those places, I must not just be still, but I must know I am not the center of the universe. God is. I am but the creature. He is the creator. And it's when I approach him with this attitude, in silence and humility, and say, "God, you speak to me." Oh, I often speak to God, but only one person can speak at a time. And so often we come to God and we say everything that we want to say, and then we say amen and we're off. And we wonder why we cannot hear God speak, because we're like Pilate that says to Jesus, "What is the truth?" and then leaves. We don't wait for the answer. Because I have a schedule, God. You know, I'm a busy man, yeah? Now, I found that God speaks when I'm still. He's often speaking to me in the midst of my life and in the decisions that I need to make, and when I cry out to him, but there comes times where I just need to be still and know that he is God. It says here, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know what's so powerful that I have discovered? That God already knows what I need. And so often, and God wants us to come to Him with our needs and our fears. He wants us to bring all our concerns to Him and to acknowledge Him in all our ways. But what changed my life is when I understood that God already knows. So I don't need to counsel Him how to help me. Oh, I come to Him often and I bring my concerns to Him so that I can get it out of the way. Because I am human, God. I am afraid. I do not know. I do not see. But I know You do. That's why in Matthew 6, when the disciples asked Jesus how we should pray, He says, therefore, do not be like the hypocrites and the heathen, for Your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray. All of a sudden, the priorities change. Because I know You already know. Father, may Your name be honored, exalted, hallowed. May Your kingdom come. And Your will be done. All of a sudden, it's not about me. Give us, it's not even about me anymore, but give us our daily bread. Because I know You know what I need, even before I ask You. Later on, Jesus says in the same chapter, verse 32, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. How liberating it is to come to God. And there's different ways to come to God. We come in honoring Him, in praising Him, in exalting Him. We enter His courts with praise. But sometimes I'm weak and frail and I am concerned about things in my life. And I say, God, this is my fear. This is my question. This is my request. Now that I've made it, I can now hear, God, You speak to me. What is on Your heart? What is Your will? What is Your kingdom? What is Your desire for me? Oh, how liberating it is to go to God and know that He knows. Oh, and I have the freedom to share with Him. But then I can put it aside. It's done. God, this is my request. You know it. Can I now hear what You have to say? What is on Your heart, Lord? Like my friend here, dear Bia, how do You see me, Lord? Oh, it's then when God speaks to me most often. It does not mean I cannot ask Him, but He already knows. So my motive of my prayer is no longer me. It is You, God. And that brings me to the final step, and that's prayer. You see, communication is a two-way affair. We enter His praise, or His presence with praise, and we exalt His name, and we speak to Him. We thank Him for what He has given us through His Son, and that He has given us life through His Son, and that He is God Almighty, and that we have this privilege to come to Him as Father and His children, and that He knows what we need, and we can speak to Him our concerns and our needs, and then we can listen and know that He is God and hear Him speak to us. I want to know Your will. Speak to me about Your heart. It is from this place of relationship where prayer becomes a two-way communication. Lord, show me your way. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, and this is so powerful from this place of relationship with God, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When you turn to your right or when you turn to your left. You see, it's in this place of relationship where I seek God's will and His kingdom, where He directs my steps. And I hear His voice so often, this way, that way, say this, do that. And I want to encourage you as I grow in my relationship with Him, that we all will grow together. As I was preparing, I asked the Lord, as I'm sharing on hearing your voice, what do you want to say to the church? It's only three words. I love you. It's not something new, but it is so personal. God loves us. So I said, God, is there something you want to say to me? He said, only two words. Follow me. That was yesterday. I can't wait to get a little space to ask Him again. And I'm sure He'll say something new. We all can hear His voice if we are just willing to listen, to be still, and know that He is gone. And ask Him. Oh, and as you do and you spend time in His Word, and you will grow to discern His voice, and it will become the most precious thing in your life as we follow Him. In Jesus' name, let us pray. I want to ask the ushers to hand out communion for us. Father, I thank You that even though You are great, awesome, beyond comprehension, so distant, yet You are so close to us. You are mindful of us. That You not only know us by name, You know the number of hairs on my head. And You know everything that I need. Everything that I go through, all my fears and my challenges, You know. And You have already made a way. Oh God, help us. Help me to come to You more often. To ask You Your will and Your way. Oh, my challenges are so small to You. And so large in my eyes. But You have already made a way. Help us, Lord, not to focus so much on ourselves, but to make You God in our lives, that we may follow You. Help us to listen to what You've already said, so that we may continue to hear what You are still saying today. Help us, Lord, to follow You with all our hearts, that we may know Your ways and know You. That You may speak to us every day. That we may hear that voice, go this way, go that way. Oh Lord, what an adventure it is to follow You. Help us, Lord, to be still and know that You are God. I want to give you a moment just to reflect on the message of today. As we wait for one another, before we eat together, just spend some time with the Lord and speak to Him. maybe you are here this morning and you have heard a lot about God, but you do not know Him. Maybe today God is speaking to you and He's calling you to Himself, not to know about Him, but to know Him. But you have yet to surrender, to give Him your life, everything. You know He gave His life, but you have yet to give yours. If that is you, while all the eyes are closed and you want to surrender your life to Him, I want to give you an opportunity right now to respond to Him by simply raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to give my life to You. If that is you, I just want you to respond by raising your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. To anyone else, you can just raise it and put it down again. Thank you for those hands. Is there anyone else? Just between you and the Lord. Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? This is what eternity is about. It's a decision. It's a choice. God chose to love you. Gave His Son, and He says, now it's your turn to choose to love Me. And if you do, I will wash you clean. I will make you new. I will call you My own, and I will never leave you. You will be Mine, and I will be yours. And if you've raised your hand, I would love to pray with you, and I want you, as we all pray together, and I want you to make this your prayer. And I'm simply going to pray the following things, and you can follow after me. But first, this is what I'm going to pray. I'm going to say, God, thank You for saving me. Thank You for loving me. God, I am a sinner. I do not deserve Your love and Your grace. But thank You for saving me. Thank You for Jesus that died for me. And through faith in Your Word concerning who He is, that He is indeed Your Son and my Savior, I may be free and I may be Yours today. Please accept me as Your child, as I thank You for this, in Jesus' name. Let us pray together. Father, I want to thank You that though I am a sinner, You saved me. Thank You for loving me. God, today I choose to give You my life. I choose to believe in Jesus, Your Word concerning Him, that He is indeed the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Today I give You my life. I ask that You come into my life, that You may be my King and I may be Your child. I thank You for this, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.